The World Health Organization defines addiction as a chronic relapsing condition. Dahab Private Hospital recognizes that addiction is a multifaceted illness affecting an individual's physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, social, and practical well-being. With 28 and 90-day residential rehabilitation programs and Dahab's accredited private health fund approved treatment service, you or your loved one can get the help you need to navigate the rehabilitation process to regain control, to overcome that addiction, and to take back your life. If this resonates, then take the first step and call Dahab Private Hospital for addiction treatment. Addiction is treatable and recovery is possible. 1-800-329-422 or dahab.com.au. Dahab is one word, D-A-Y-H-A-B, dahab.com.au.
G'day Groovers, welcome to the New Year Revolution with Harps on the U Project and Anna Feringa and Melissa Cameron. Let's start with the one up the top of the screen. Hi Melissa Cameron.
Hello, how's it going this morning?
Oh look, I'm feeling super Christmassy. I'm going to be honest folks, it's not Christmas yet. We're doing this a little pre-Christmas, but we're nothing if not organised. Anna Feringa, thanks for joining us on the New Year Revolution and for giving us a little bit of quality time on the U Project.
Pleasure, Harps. Always a pleasure to be here.
Where are you at, bro? You still in Queensland?
No, I was never in Queensland. Good to see your listening skills are in tune.
New South Wales.
New South Wales, but not in Port Stephens anymore, back in the Big Smoke, back in Sydney.
I knew you were north. New South Wales, Queensland, same, isn't it?
You just overshot it. No judgment.
So how have you been, Anna?
I'm good. I was probably like everyone else, looking forward to the rollout of the end of the year. Mm. It's been a big one, and I know that it's going to be discussing today, but I'm good. I'm good, but I'm a little bit tired, if I'm going to be honest with you and the audience. It's and who wouldn't be at the end of 2020?
100%. I think we're all stumbling towards the finish line a little bit. Do you reckon that once we know that we're getting close towards the end, we emotionally and psychologically kind of not drop our bundle, but just relax a little bit and stagger towards the finish?
100%. I feel like one of those athletes with the jelly legs that I can't help but laugh at, even though I have a dark sense of humor. I appreciate what they've achieved, but that's what I feel like.
Yeah. Are you personally going to be doing a whole lot different next year in terms of the way that you do business or life, or apart from, working around logistics with COVID or potential limitations with humans in rooms, but on a kind of personal level, are you going to change a lot?
Look, I think I need to. I think there's an element of not having a choice because we have to, but I can see that it's sort of leading into the conversation that we're going to have. Just because we work in an area of humanity or human nature or psychology, even physiology, there's definitely a lot of things that I need to do from a personal level.
Yeah. Tell us one thing that Anna Feringa is going to change in 2021. There's just one little personal goal for you that you go, fuck, I've got to do this, or I've got to stop that, or I've got to start that, or I've got to change that.
What I reckon I'm going to have to hone into, and this is going to seem quite ironic considering what I do, but I need to switch in permanently to a better heightened state of care. Mm. And that is not only just for who I work with, but for myself.
Yeah.
What I've learned throughout COVID is we've all got this breaking point, right? And when I say breaking point to actually do something good for yourself. Mm. But how shit do I actually have to feel before I get up and go for a run, eat a bit better, give myself some time out. Mm. And then also on the flip side, the breaking point of, how bad does life have to be before I stop caring for myself, right? This is what I've been learning, right? There's a lot of people that are really good at self-care. Mm-hmm. And then, life just gets too hard, hence 2020 and what it's brought to us. And therefore they go on the flip side and stop caring for themselves. So I'm going to be in a heightened state of care for myself and understand where my balanced lane is. Yeah. Because I tend to go off or on. I'll be self-caring for myself perfectly, or I'll be part of those people that I'm trying to help where I don't self-care for myself at all. And it's just about this seesaw, right? So I'm going to stop the seesaw and try and be consistent with the middle.
Mm. And I mean, it's interesting for you to say that. I say the same thing with people who go, surely you have your shit together by now, Harps. And I go, well, depends what day it is. Some Tuesdays I'm fucking brilliant. Thursdays I'm a catastrophe. Yeah. You know, because we're all works in progress, and having knowledge doesn't mean, or having skill or having experience doesn't necessarily mean that we're self-caring or self-managing optimally. What do you think for most of us coming out of, you know, a pretty tough time, not everybody, but most people, you know, mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, professionally in 2020, most people did it pretty hard.
Yep.
And the point, I guess the point of these 10 episodes for this series is not that there's any single bloody revelation or solution or, you know, global kind of panacea for what we're all stepping into in the new year, but what are some of your thoughts and ideas around how we might do better moving forward as a collective and also as individuals?
Yeah. I love the way you always give me the fork questions. You want the collective answer and the individual answer.
Yeah, so what I want to do is save myself some time. So I ask you all the questions in one fucking sentence.
Well, hopefully my answer can be two birds with one stone. Look, 2021 is coming around, and, you know, there's a lot of articles flying around. There's a lot of opinions, and, you know, by all means, you're better off listening to them than not at this stage, because we all need as much help as we can get. That's the bottom line. I think a lot of people are still living in a heightened level of uncertainty, right? Because, I mean, this COVID thing hasn't gone away, but life's sort of getting a little bit better for some people. Still a lot of other people that are suffering. I think what I'm going to do for myself, and what I recommend that people do hone in on, is one thing that we've learned and one thing we can carry on in 2021 is equality, right? Mm. And when I say equality, I'm not talking about, you know, equal pay rates and man versus woman and all that sort of stuff. I'm talking about a quality of existence, right? So we spend so much time, and this is where I see a lot of people with anxiety and depression, comparing ourselves to the people that we perceive to have it better.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if we go into 2021 thinking, geez, shit, this COVID thing has affected everyone, regardless about how rich you are, thin you are, popular you are, this thing is non-discriminatory. So if anything, go into 2021 thinking, well, geez, shit, we're a lot more equal than what we thought when it just comes to existence. Mm. So if anything, that's taught us, or it's definitely taught me, to think about, well, what am I investing my worry in?
Mm.
What have I been wasting worry in? Is it to be, you know, the best sort of mental health consultant? Is it to be the best daughter? Is it to be the best friend? Is it to be the best presenter? And I'm like, yes, okay, don't lose sight of that. But geez, shit, you know, this COVID thing has really brought out human vulnerability and made me realize we're actually pretty similar, regardless in what we're doing.
Mm.
That gives me a sense of humbleness. So that would be one of the points that I'd bring forward.
I think we are indeed a comparison culture. We spoke recently with Ashok Gupta. If you haven't heard him, get on board. God, we love him. And we were talking, he's this like guru dude from one of his parents is from Jamaica and one's from India, and he lives in Britain, and he's just this, he's like a legit straight up guru. But we were talking about comparison culture, and it feels like in 2020, there's probably not just 2020, but, you know, in modernity, we're very much a comparison culture, especially when you open up your old Facebook page or Instagram or whatever. But maybe the only person we should compare ourselves against is us in terms of our own, but in a loving way, you know, am I progressing? Am I learning? Am I evolving? Am I calmer? Am I looking after me? Am I self-caring? Am I self-managing? Do you think there's a time, is there a way, is comparison ever healthy?
I think it's healthy to have a moderate sense of competition, right? I think that's really important for drive and motivation.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to wipe that off. But I just think the amount of time you choose to invest in comparing yourself to others is the difference.
Mm.
You can be competitive, but how much of an obsession does it become?
Mm.
Yeah, much like anything, right? Mm. How much does self-gratification become an obsession? How much does fitness become an obsession? How much does, you know, being a good person become an obsession, right? Sometimes we've just got to learn to take it easy on ourselves. But, you know, with competition, we've got to reshape our thoughts and go, where do I choose to invest what I really want to worry about?
Yeah.
You know, this year has taught us so much about how prickly or how breakable life is, right? Mm. Mm. And I don't mean to sound like I'm about to burst into song or go on to some sort of preach, but, you know, I always like to think, and I had a session yesterday with some great people, and I asked them, I said, what has your biggest challenges been from COVID? Because it was a mental health session. And each and every one of them, and there were 12 in this session, started with the positives first. So I'm actually really starting to see that not everyone's getting caught in the doldrums of this thing. They're actually learning
positive
things. And I'll give you a couple that I picked up. One is it's taught us to be a hell of a lot more grateful, right? So gratuity is a big thing, or appreciation. What we once had, we no longer have, or we have in some kind of new normal. So, you know, I walk down the street at the moment, and I'm lucky enough to be, you know, in a country and in a state where I can walk down the street without a mask and meet a mate for lunch. And you can still see and sense in the thickness of the air how much people are appreciating just being together.
Yeah.
In a physical sense, right? You can see it. You can feel it. I mean, sure, that'll wean off over time as we get used to what a new normal looks like. But, you know, they're together and they're really valuing that. You know, the fact of being able to make a dinner reservation as opposed to, you know, I worry more about actually getting a reservation so I can see people rather than what I'm going to wear or what I'm going to look like, you know. So I think that, you know, moving into 2021, there's that shift in thinking for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But my question is, how long is that going to last?
Yeah. Can you talk to us a tiny bit about, because everyone's got an idea on this, including me, but I'm sure you have. So a lot of people, I was going to say everyone, probably not everyone, but I would say a big percentage of people slide into each new year with some thoughts and ideas around habits that they want to create, new ones that they want to create or ones that they want to break. What's your kind of philosophy or process, if you have one, around helping people, you know, implement behaviors that kind of reflect their values and their direction and their truth, and to step out of the ones that are a bit destructive?
Mm. No, it's a really good question. And I think that, you know, I think it's a very hard question, because I think the way that the modality of thought for a lot of people is quite vast, right? So my motivation harps in why I would choose to change could look very different to yours. So to put it into a, you know, a singular modality is a bit tough, but I'll give it a crack.
I always like to do. Sure.
I think one of the things is, sit back at the end of the day or at the beginning of the day, whatever floats your boat, and think about, when were you happiest during just that day, right? Because when you say to people, okay, reflect on the last 6 months and tell me when you were happiest.
Yeah.
Because people then get flooded trying to bloody remember rather than thinking about the actual thought that matters. So what makes you happiest? Is it the fact that you get a sense of new normal? Is it the fact that you're on a Zoom meeting with someone? Is it the fact that you're lucky enough to be somewhere where you can be with people? Is it the fact that you exercise today or not exercise today? What if you've been exercising for 20 years and it's just part of your routine? So it's a bit like, okay, it's done, rather than, yes, I'm an awesome person. Mm. What actually makes you feel good about yourself? What actually makes you feel good about yourself? And I want to put a bit of a pause after that question, because someone can spew all the classics, right?
Mm.
You know, being fit, being connected. And that's wonderful. Don't ever stop that. That's one of the best things to make us human. But what makes us happy is very different. But we tend to not give ourselves time to actually think about it.
Why are we so fascinated with fucking busyness? It's like, think about, g'day mate, how are you going? Oh, fucking busy. Busy, bro. Flat out. Everyone's busy. Everyone's flat out. Everyone's got no time. But almost nobody's fucking fulfilled. Nobody's content. Like wherever we are, it's not where we want to be. We're fucking rushing to nowhere in particular. What the fuck is that?
I think, you know, in my opinion, there's two reasons. One is we think that's what people want to hear, right? Because you imagine, Harps, you and I meet for a coffee and you're like, how are you, Anna? Oh, I've actually had a really slow week. I've been, you know, meandering around, sort of staring at things and, you know, binging on Netflix and, you know, ordering Uber Eats and hanging out, probably drinking a bit too much alcohol this week, Carps, as opposed to, oh, mate, I've been super busy, you know, business is going along, I've got lots to do. We think it's what people want to hear, right? And that comes back to this obsession with commercialism, right? What makes you happy? And are you honest with telling people what actually makes you happy? So that's one. We say we're busy because that's what people want to hear. Secondly, from a psychological perspective, it's a cop-out because people are too afraid, or a lot of people are too afraid to actually speak about the truth, right? And that just comes down with, you know, the stigma of being vulnerable, the mental health piece, the stigma of looking weak. I need to look like I've got my shit together even when it's fucking falling down like a volcano around me, but I'm not going to let anyone, particularly people that I'm close to, know that. So the term busy, social acceptance, and emotional avoidance.
Wow. You know what's awesome? Imagine if somebody said, you know, so what are you going to do in 2021? You go, oh, fucking less. I'm going to do less everything. I'm going to strive less. I'm going to set less fucking goals. I'm just going to be. I'm just going to, yeah. You know, I'm going to make a few bucks. I'm going to have a few jogs. I'm going to kiss my missus or my bloke. Yep. I'm going to look up. But other than that, fucking not much. I'm just going to like breathe. I'm just going to breathe, look at shit. I'm just going to, you know, it's like, I do feel like you were saying that we almost feel guilty if we can't report in that. I'm busier than you. I don't care how busy you are. Add 10% and that's me. It's like it's some kind of achievement, this albeit unproductive, unrewarding, unfulfilling busyness that we all wear like a badge of honor, but at the same time don't enjoy.
Exactly. And my question is, who set that benchmark? We did. Mm. You know, we're the masters of our own demise, particularly from a psychological perspective.
Yeah. I think that's back, and this is a really good time of the year to think about this because, and my question is, or the thought is, what the fuck is success anyway? And that integrates, yeah, work and happiness and relationships and life and lifestyle and health and mental and emotional and physical. But there's that. Because we grow up in that paradigm of, for most people, you know, success is stuff, success is external, success is what people can see, success is business and brand and profile and house and car and fucking pretty face and big muscles and all the shit that, oh, fucking look at her, she's successful. Yeah, but she goes to bed every night and she fucking hates her life and she's depressed and anxious and she's on 9 medications. So, is she successful or is he successful? Like, I think we confuse the external picture with the internal reality of most people's existence.
Absolutely. And I think the current rate of just how unwell we are psychologically is your evidence for that, Hubs.
Yeah.
You know, if we were really understanding what happiness is or what success is, we wouldn't be so bloody unwell. You know, I know that we've got this pandemic, right? And that's going to be blamed for a long time to come. But even before the damn thing hit, suicide rates were on the increase, right? Before COVID hit, we're looking at 8 people a day, right? We're looking at, you know, 2 million Australians with anxiety, right? And they're just people that have gone to a doctor and got a diagnosis. How many people are running around with unhealthy anxiety as a result of investing in stuff, in that stuff that you used, that they think defines their happiness, right? So, you know, it's really important to, you know, in 2021, just to, you know, do a stock take and go, and back to what I was saying, what actually makes you happy? You know, what makes me happy, right? And I am busy. I am really busy. I've had a really busy year because I work in mental health, right? And people are vulnerable and they're breaking all over the place. And as they should be, it's been a shit time for a lot of people. And, you know, I always say, you know, I'm the mental health consultant, do as I say, not as I do, because have I been drinking too much this year? Yes, I have. Have I exercised more or less? It's inconsistent. Is my diet wonderful? Hell no. You know, I've ordered Uber Eats 3 times this week, as my assistant continues to remind me, because she gets all my emails. I even tried, he's giving into this commercial bullshit. I even tried to change my email on Uber Eats so my assistant doesn't see how much crap I eat, right?
Oh, fuck, that's hilarious. I love how honest you are. Keep going.
Here's the thing, though. I'm happy. You know why I'm happy? Because I'm honest about here how imperfect I am.
Mm.
So here's my best piece of advice for 2021. Try and be honest with what you think society doesn't want to hear.
Mm.
Because, geez, it's freeing.
Mm.
It really is freeing.
Yeah, I love that.
You can unleash the shackles a little bit. Try not to be so perfect.
Yeah. And I always say to people about behavior and about following through and about, like, when I'm talking to somebody about, you know, their habits or their, you know, whatever it is they're eating or the way they talk to others, or I say, what I'm interested in is I'm interested in the you that nobody sees. Like, I'm interested in what you're doing when no one's watching, because that tells me about you, not in a weird, creepy way, but just in terms of behaviors, you know. Why do you think, that was a great bit of advice, by the way, and I love it. Why do you, you know, that, what's that saying that people use a lot? It's like, we keep spending money we don't have on shit we don't need to impress people who don't give a fuck about us, or something like that. What is, and again, you don't need to know everything about everything, but what do you think that's about? Why do we care so much about what people think of us more than what we think of us?
Insecurity.
But why do we want to impress people who don't even love us?
Because it's easier to impress others than impress ourselves. It's easier to get that credit card and buy those shoes, or, you know, go out to that restaurant that you know you can't afford to go to, but everyone else is going, so I'm going to go anyway and then suffer for the rest of the week. It's easier to do that than actually turn around and go, guys, I can't come to dinner because this restaurant isn't in my budget. Or, you know, it's easier to fake it than to actually be genuine. Being genuine is confronting for a lot of people.
Why do we, yeah, I agree with you on all that. I'm just thinking, why don't we learn? Like, we go, all right, well, I bought this, I bought that, I'm still empty, I'm still lonely, I'm still, now I'll buy this, or now I'll buy that. Or don't we get to a point where we go, well, clearly this doesn't fucking work, because I've been clamoring for approval and attention, desperately doing all of these things that don't work, because I've got to keep escalating my behavior to get the same, you know, response. Maybe I need to look within, not without. I'm not trying to be judgy, but we do that not just with, you know, social things and trying to get approval and attention and connection, but we do that with food and we do that with drugs, and where we keep escalating because we're trying to get some internal peace or, mm-hmm. you know, response.
I think it's lack of education. I think we've fallen into a habit that, you know, if we can make the external appear what it needs to be, then that must be happiness, because that's how we're viewing everyone else, right? We're only learning from what we see. So imagine if we took Facebook, right, and Facebook wasn't about, you know, the fucking influencers and the flat tummies and the Louis Vuittons and the, you know, even the nuclear families with their perfect children. And I'm happy for those guys. But, you know, it's amazing what people put on social media or any kind of other influential platform. People don't air their ailments on Facebook. And when they do, they get teased, right? When someone actually puts an insightful thought on Facebook about, oh, geez, I've had a really bad day and this is what's happened to me, they get a row full of comments going, attention seeker, you know, no one cares about your problems. Just give us your fake perfect shit, because that's what we want to see. Because the reason why people get the shits is because we're scared of vulnerability, right? We're scared of actually knowing how a human ticks. So it's down to education. If we actually knew a little bit more about what makes us happy internally, geez, the world would be a different place. But A, we're in a habit of, you know, pleasing the external. It's safe. We know it. We know that we get some form of positive attention if we kind of conform. But what people don't understand is what they, if they don't understand their true selves and they don't know how to understand their true selves, then nothing's going to change. And so that's where, you know, I'm right behind education and influencing around, geez, you know, you can have $2 to your name and a pair of, you know, broken Havaianas, not even Havaianas, just a pair of, I don't know, BP service station thongs and still be the happiest person in the world. But the fact is we won't learn about it because it's too confronting. Vulnerability makes us weak. So I'm just going to stick in the safe zone and I'm going to blow up my bank card bills. I'm going to, you know, go to bed every night on those 9 meds and 2 bottles of wine because I am unhappy and I'm worried about money and I'm worried about it being accepted when we don't even know how to accept ourselves. And nor can we be bothered learning.
Yeah. Yeah. I think part of the challenge too is that for a lot of people that are in pain, mental, emotional, sometimes physical pain, that you know, that thing that they can reach for, whether or not that's a credit card or a pill or porn or whatever it is, or a fucking cheeseburger, in my case, a cheeseburger.
Yeah, me too.
the problem in inverted commas is that in the moment that shit's fucking amazing and I'll start tomorrow. And so many people are reaching for the pill, the powder, the potion, the drug, the root, the cheeseburger, the fucking cigarette, the beer, and with every intention kind of starting tomorrow, and that lasts for 20 years.
Yep.
But tomorrow never comes because we're always in the moment gratifying ourselves, and delaying gratification is something we're terrible at because it just means sitting in our own shit. It seems sitting, I don't want to sit here in my pain and feel these things, so I'm going to do this other thing that takes me out of the feeling, but I'll deal with my feelings tomorrow, and now I'm 50, right? And one of the things I did years ago, and my listeners know this, but I took myself out of my life for 10 days, and by out of my life, I mean situation, circumstance, environment, friends, family, work, no phone calls, no computer, no conversations with other humans, nothing, by myself for 10 days in isolation. And it was life-changing because I don't know how many emotions there are, but I had all of them every day and spent the first 2 or 3 days by myself as a grown-ass man in his 30s crying and being scared and being anxious and going, why am I crying? What am I scared of? What am I anxious about? Like, my life is great. My external life is great. I own multiple businesses. I make lots of dough. What the fuck is wrong with me? But my life was entirely externally focused. And when I dragged myself, and in the middle of my successful life, I was miserable. And so I went away to find out what that misery was about. And I suggest to people who are on this merry-go-round of I'm going to do it soon, and now it's 2025. One of my suggestions is, consider the idea of going away, not for 10 days, if 10 days is awesome if you can, but even for 3 days by yourself once a year where there's no one, there's no phone, there's no computer, there's no newspaper, there's no television, there's no distractions, there's just you and your feelings and thoughts, and see what comes up. You know, and maybe for some people listening now, this is not a terrible idea to do in the next 4 to 8 weeks as we slide into the new year. Because what you will find when it's just you and you is a whole lot of stuff that you can't find in the middle of the mayhem. What do you think about that, Anna?
Look, I think it makes sense, but in saying that, so you've just said that, Harps, and, you know, hopefully to some of the listeners, they might go, shit, that's a really good idea. I'm going to do that. So I'm going to throw a question back to you. What percent of your listeners will actually think, okay, it's a good idea and do it, as opposed to listening to you and going, great idea, but not do it?
Oh, the vast majority. But that's the same with every podcast. That's the same with every, look, you're exactly right. But this is my ongoing fucking, you know, rant is, I don't care what you know. I don't care what you hear. I don't care what you learn. I don't care what's relevant. I care what the fuck you do off the back of this podcast, off the back of this book. You know, you went and saw Anna, she blew your fucking socks off with all that information and inspiration. Awesome. What did you do? How did you change? How did you apply the theory and turn it into behavior? And then what outcomes did you create? And that's the whole fucking point. That's why I'm so blunt, and that's why I'm so practical, and that's why I get periodically slightly frustrated with people who simply won't do what's required to change their own life, but would rather play the victim card. And by the way, I'm not saying there are no victims. Of course there are. Yep. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about the people that perpetually fuck up their own life and don't do the work and then complain about the situation that they created. You're exactly right. This is all about what we do with what we know.
Exactly. So, you know, to tie that into, you know, 2021, if this is like a, you know, a revelation flavored podcast, is why are you delaying? What's causing procrastination? And we could give a bullet pointed list, right? Is it fear? Is it effort? Is it laziness? Is it confusion? Is it the fact that, you know, as you said, Harps, we are in this life of being used to instant gratification, right? Cheeseburger versus 6 weeks worth of 30-minute runs. I can tell you what the population is going to choose, right? So, you know, stepping into 2021, you know, what I would take a look at, okay, if complete self-actualization, which is, you know, pretty hard to achieve, maybe just start and go, okay, I've felt guilty for the last 6 months because I was going to say because I'm never home and traveling too much, but that's a bit off the charts for 2020. I've wanted to go for a run, or I've wanted to call that mate, or I've wanted to paint that picture, or whatever it is. Have a think about actually why you haven't, because everyone else is going to come out with their own story, right? And that's going to equal things like fear, or, you know, it might just be something as general as laziness. Yeah. We can be super lazy. We don't need to be psychologically fucked up to avoid doing good things for ourselves. Sometimes we're just lazy.
I think also, yeah. 100%. I'm lazy sometimes. I think also there's this thing, Anna et al, that we don't have to change today. This is the problem. But when you go to the doctor and he or she goes, dude, you are fucking diabetic. You are this, you are that. If you don't change now, you're going to die within 2 years. Then we, most of us, not everyone, surprisingly, but most of us change. We change, and we change today because there's an absolute dire consequence to not changing. But for most of us who are just kind of stumbling along, and I put me in the stumbling along group, you know, we go, I do want to be fitter. Yeah, I do want to be more efficient. Yeah, I do, you know, but there's no need today to change. So yeah. I'll do that very soon. And so we rationalize doing nothing because we are very good at turning, at making excuses and bullshit sound like reasons.
I think that you put that, I think that's bang on. And you've sparked a, you know, I want to make a comment here when I'm, you know what I do, Harps, and I spend a lot of time with people in workplaces talking about mental health, right? And part of what I talk about is it's amazing what humanity or humankind gets used to, right? So you can go through the next 20 years feeling just okay, right? As opposed to just amazing.
Yeah.
But people need, you know, that doctor's warning or maybe that diagnosis of depression or diagnosis of anxiety to actually give ourselves the kick in the ass to do something. So my question is, what's going to give humans enough, and I hate to use the word warning, to actually make us do things for ourselves that's going to help us live a better life, considering we've just come through 2021 understanding how bloody precious it is.
Yeah, I think
so. Why are we waiting for the warning? People are waiting for warnings before they'll actually do something. People are waiting for that diagnosis or, you know, whether it's psychological or medical or physiological rather, to actually do something. So we get used to just feeling okay, and that okay can actually look pretty bloody bad.
Yeah, I agree.
But I'm still getting up. I'm still breathing. I'm still getting along with my kids. My marriage is okay. As you said, Harps, you know, they might be financially sound or based on the end of this year, maybe not. But maybe 2020 has been the kick in the ass for people to actually do things for themselves.
And I think sometimes, I mean, we don't want to be too overly analytical of everything in our life because then we become a bit of a cyborg. But I think at the same time, sometimes if we're really, really, really honest, and it's hard to be honest and objective about ourselves, and it's the same, I find the same challenge. But sometimes we look at, you know, all the kind of components of our life and we go, well, that's a 4 out of 10, that's a 3, that's a 5, that's a 6, that's a, you know, and it's all okay-ish.
Yeah.
None of us are aiming for 3 or 4. Like most of us, if I go, well, would you, you know, your marriage, whatever, would you like a 9 out of 10 or a 4? Well, everyone goes a 9. And what about your health, a 9 or a 4? And what about your mental health? That, you know, and I think there's, you know, because we are in kind of the status quo and we're in that Groundhog Day-ness of existence where, you know, we are, everything is okay, somewhere between a bit shit and okay, but we know that there's going to be upheaval and work and pain and discomfort in the short to medium term to change the direction of our life or our habits or our thinking. You know, I think it is something that we do put on hold. Now we've got to wind up because we've already gone over our time, but any thoughts, Miss, ma'am, to leave the multitudes with as we slide into the new year? And we appreciate you. You've been enlightening as always. What's your one last big thing that you want to share with us?
I think what I'm going to do to make this beneficial is just to quickly recap. So firstly, be grateful. Step into 21 with what you've actually got, right? That's one of the best things you can do for any kind of, you know, beginning of a mental health path. Be patient. You know, it's going to be a little while before we get to back to some sort of new normal or normal. So we're going to see a lot of people that are going to continue to suffer and go down the gurgler for a little while. So be patient. That instant gratification isn't going to come just yet. You know, do live life a little bit more in a heightened state of care. Jeez, we've learnt that in 2021. One of the healthiest things is if you put more investment in caring for others, that's one of the best things or easiest ways you can start caring for yourself. So if you don't want to go for that run or that commitment, just maybe pick up that phone, have a chat to that mate, call your mum, call your dad. It's, you know, connectivity is important. And, you know, don't delay and don't procrastinate. Or if you are going to, because we've had a big analytical conversation about that, have a look at why you are and what the benefits, what the help and hindrance is as to why you're delaying and why you're procrastinating about shit that makes you happy.
Perfect. Love it. Well, thank you for being part of the U Project this year, 2020, when we're recording this, and we appreciate your support and your contribution. You're awesome. And we hope, Melissa and I hope, and the listeners, I'm sure, that your 2021 is awesome. Now, if you want somebody who's dynamic and amazing and inspirational, come and work with your team or organization in 2021. And as your girl, how do they find you? How do they connect with you? How do they follow you on the socials?
Oh, well, I'm on LinkedIn. So just look for Anna Feringa on LinkedIn, or you can jump to my website, which is really, really hard, www.annaferinga.com.au.
And Feringa's with one R, not two, because I may have made the 2R mistake.
Look, it's very Dutch. It's very Dutch. It's phonetic, right? It's as it's spelled. F-E-R-I-N-G-A, Feringa.
I call you to Melissa Onkaparinga.
Onkaparinga. Mm. Oh, that's better than my energy bill. I'm Anna De Ferrugia on that one.
That's hilarious. All right, everyone. Enjoy your day. Anna, thank you so much.
Pleasure. Always. Have a great Christmas break, guys.
The addict in your family might need you to take the first step for them. They Have Private Hospital for Addiction Treatment has the experience, staff, resources, and processes to help you help your loved one. DHAB's model of intensive rehabilitation has revolutionised the practice of addiction treatment in Australia. Registered with the DHHS, Department of Health and Human Services, DHAB now offers rehabilitation programs for drug, alcohol, and gambling addiction, and is a private health fund approved treatment service. So if you or someone you care about is fighting addiction, there is hope. Addiction is treatable. Recovery is possible. Just ask me, call. And there is light at the end of the tunnel. DHAB Private Hospital for Addiction Treatment. Call DHAB on 1800 329 422 or learn more at dayhab, dayhab, all one word, .com.au.